Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 398. 398 episodes in the can. We are ever so close to the 400th episode here. Obviously, it's only two away. But I gotta tell you, it's kind of interesting. The numerical milestones don't ever really mean as much to me as the time-based ones. And we happen to have passed a huge time-based milestone here 2 days ago at this point. As of January 9th, 2010, I will have recorded this podcast for 4 years straight. Over the most part of the 4 years, it has been twice weekly, so it averages to roughly about, you know, 50 or 100 shows a year, so it's 50 shows every 6 months. So it's kind of understood that most often, or more often than not, the 400th or the 100th and the year milestone kind of happen right around the same time. So we're going to be doing a fun little celebration for the 400th episode. I think it's going to be kind of interesting and kind of cool. Might end up doing a Ustream show for it. Might end up doing a couple other things. We're trying to work out a bunch of the kinks now. But I got to tell you, what I did to celebrate the 4 year anniversary, I think you're going to enjoy. I actually started a second podcast. Yeah, I know, baby on the way, new podcast, new hobby. It sounds remarkably similar to what happened 4 years ago with the Caffeination. Of course, at this point in time, when I started the Caffeination, didn't know that we were going to be having Paul that summer, but yeah, it's kind of fun, kind of cool. The new podcast is called The Cruftcast. It's actually over at cruftcast.com. The site's not ready yet, but the video is up nonetheless. It's an introductory episode. It talks a little bit about what Cruft is, what the podcast is going to be about. The tagline for the show is called Life's Better Outside the Box. It's going to take me a little bit of time to get the same kind of workflow pattern down that I have for you here at the Caffeination Show. And the Caffeination is not going anywhere anytime soon. I hope to join the 500 episode club next year, right around this same time, same bat channel. So I'm hoping that you're going to stick with me for that. We are trying like the Dickens to get all the different technological things ironed out here at the podcast. So if you are currently looking for this show and you wonder where it could be lovingly nestled, that would be over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. If you're looking for a way to send comments, feedback, suggestion, you can do so either via voicemail at 215-240-1319. You can do it to twitter.com/caffeination. We have a Facebook fan page. You can heap abuse on us over there. Or you could just head on over and send a comment in. You can become a fan of us on the Google Friend Connect. There's a whole bunch of different ways you too can get your caffeination in on this. So I gotta tell you, it's pretty fun, it's pretty cool, and I don't want to dwell on things too much, so we're gonna motor right along. We've already spent a lot of time talking about it. Thank you, before we get on into anything else, thank you up front, personal, and from the bottom of my heart. I never thought that I would ever talk to and interact with as many awesome and cool people as I've done through this podcast. I lead a relatively sheltered tech life when it comes to dealing with other techs. I kind of work alone, even though I work in a big university. So having a podcast allows me to reach out, talk to people, and have a wider community to share my knowledge and bounce ideas off of. So thank you ever so much for joining us on this tech venture. Hopefully the Cruftcast will gain a similar following. Hopefully people enjoy that just as much. We have a great episode lined up for you today on episode number 398. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the CES tomfoolery that's going on, some awesome robotic hijinks, and even a better food and caffeinated gadget. Can anyone explain how Google Chrome has such a bad spell checker? At typing up these show notes, I'm pretty sure they're full of absolutely horrible spelling, and I have to always go through and check it. But I'm typing in Google Chrome, and it keeps putting the squigglies under it, so it knows the word's misspelled, but when you right-click on it, it says, you know, that there's no spelling suggestions. However, if I copy that very same butchered word and search for it in Google, it says, really? Did you mean this? So I think those two things need to kind of converge, and I'll be a happier tech, because it's going to save me a lot of time. All right, we have a lot of stuff to talk about here today, so we're going to get right on into it. But first, we did want to make sure we made mention of the fact that the Caffeination is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Inclement weather is sweeping the nation. It's either raining, snowing, or bone-chilling cold outside. So who wants to run across town to get an almost certainly delayed flight for a tiny meeting? You too can now skip the flight, skip the drive, put down the scarf. Use GoToMeeting to host an online meeting instead. It couldn't be simpler. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and sees your desktop on their screen. There's no delays, no canceled flight, just productive meetings. Imagine that. Think about it. One click and no snow days, and you too could be hosting your own training sessions or giving product demos from the comfort of your very own warm office. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a lot of great stuff, so we're going to dive right on in. First thing up there, there's a lot of news coming out of CES about Lego Craft or Second Lego or whatever they're going to call it. My personal favorite would end up being to call it Brick Craft. I think that's a neat little name for it, but basically it's a massive multiplayer online version of some kind of Lego world. I think they're calling it Lego Universe at this point in time, but I think World of Brickcraft might be a little bit better, although it would probably be a little bit too close to for comfort for the people that are playing Warcraft. But I think it's just kind of fun and cool. I did want to remind you that you should head on over to techpodcasts.com to actually check out the gang over at Tech Podcasts running through CES and producing fantastically awesome video content every single day. And you can watch all of the back channel stuff and everything else. They're really doing some great stuff over there. They've partnered up with NBC Universal and a whole bunch of other people to make it a really special occasion, so you should head on over there. The three main personalities that you're going to end up seeing are Todd Cochran, Andy McCaskey, and Jeffrey Powers. So three fantastic gentlemen, and I highly suggest you head on over there and eyeball what they're doing. And now the next little thing we got for you here is forget Google Street View. Point clouds of data now fog our streets. You heard me hear correctly, but there's a new company out there called Navtech. I'm not sure if they're necessarily new, but they're going around the country and they're actually wirelessly mapping the facades and the structures that exist in our nation. This is insane. It's basically making a 3D point cloud map of absolutely everything that exists on, you know, like the Las Vegas Strip. So these are, it captures 1.5 million 3D data points every second. Has a range of about 120 meters from the vehicle, so that's huge. No matter how big your lawn is, they're going to be able to get every brick, every nook, every cranny. The cool thing about this, at least that I think of, on the one hand, you're going to have less privacy advocates because they're going to be able to weed out people and soft targets, I guess you could say. But on the other hand, there's a lot less photo realism to it. But on the other hand, they're going to be able to tell how many windows you have in your house, what size the windows are, how big your door is, whether or not your door was open or closed on the particular day they drove by. It's insane the amount of data that they're going to get. Unfortunately for everybody else, that does mean that there's going to be 3D models of every building that has a street front out there. So, I mean, maybe, you know, Google's going to end up buying Navtech and putting it all into Google Earth or SketchUp or something like that. I don't think SketchUp can actually make sense of 3D data clouds, but or point clouds as they are, but I know that there's a lot of other really cool 3D mapping applications that are out there that can use these. So this is the kind of information you'd be able to use to basically carve your own little 3D printer version of the Las Vegas Strip. So I think it's kind of fun and cool. Wanted to pass it along. Next little item we got up for you here is an Android phone actually helps to fight back against the people who took it. Apparently a bunch of the brain trust that actually stole the Droid phone from somebody decided to take pictures of themselves. And this isn't a scary story or anything like that where we're talking about, oh my god, look, the phone's doing this behind your back. The person who had the phone actually had set it to update or back up all the stuff that was on the phone or all the pictures to a server every night. So after the people took the pictures of themselves, they were then backed up to that server later on that night, and the people who owned the phone passed the pictures along and actually helped get at least one of the thieves arrested. This is fantastic. This is great, and it's kind of one of those unintended consequences when you're just being a concerned digital citizen and helping to back up your data. So my hat's off to the fine folks who wrote the application. It just seems to be a really cool cool and unexpected way that things actually worked out for the best there. No word yet on whether the gentleman actually got his phone back, but hey. Next story we got up for you here is from over at darkroastedblend.com. It's not a coffee story per se, but it's a coffee themed website. They have a great article up there about talking all about robot art and ray guns, where they go through a bunch of different found object robots, basically people who took old off-kilter pieces of hardware and cruft and built their own little awesome robots out of them. I'm loving this particular post that they have up over there. They have like the craziest pieces of automata that you could ever possibly imagine in all kinds of different configurations. And one of my absolute favorites was some of the stuff done by Andy Hill over there. So I linked you directly to his page, and it's over at electroartworks.com. Now, it's hard to kind of describe some of these things. I mean, they could be as simple as like a Polaroid camera on top of a on top of an AM radio with claw hands coming out of it. I mean, a lot of them is very similar or slightly anthropomorphic. Some of it is incredibly detailed, and all of it is intensely awesome. So basically, the people who do these things find bits of junk and detritus laying around, and they craft or cruft objects out of them. So they have one coffee robot that's actually like an antique coffee can and a little clock up at the top with a little skirt on the bottom. I think that's pretty cool. And the only thing that you could match up with that is a lovely 8 o'clock coffee robot that they have from over at nerdbots.com, which is the next story that we got for you here. This is pretty cool, but it's I don't know. It's one of those things where you're looking at it and you're going, that's awesome, but I would never pay that for it. Basically, the fine folks over at Nerdbots actually crufted together an 8 o'clock coffee tin, two handsets from the old-style beige phones, what looked like two pistons, some type of timer or time clock at the top. Now, it's a relatively, I wouldn't say it's a dead-on accurate representation of any kind of robotic lore, but I mean, hey, if you want to call it a robot, you can call it a robot. I just wouldn't pay $240 for it. I think that's more than the market will bear there. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was awesome, but I would never pay it. That's the sad little realization there at the end of that. Next fun thing that we had up for you here, CES actually had a build your own minifig for bloggers and everybody who are out there. They supposedly had a one minifig per person limit, but people apparently threw that by the wayside. I would love to have this. This is one of the reasons I need to start trying to find a way to go to CES. I know it would never work out just for time. I work in the education industry. One of my busiest times is in between the winter semester, and that's always when CES is, so I'm always going to have to watch from afar. But I mean, just build your own minifig is a fantastic way to get great press about your company. And the next little thing that I got for you over here is something called The Art of Robots. It's a great post from over at colorlovers.com that actually dissects a lot of older robotic artwork from, you know, things like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, crazy robotic toys, Life magazine covers, old ads, and everything else you can imagine. And it actually pulls a lot of the more prevalent palettes out of them. And it's really cool. I love this kind of stuff, so every once in a while when it kind of fits in, I just wanted to pass it along to people. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is a Sony distance alert. Apparently, Sony now has a way for a camera to be attached to a TV and actually tell how close somebody is to the TV. I mean, that's not the only thing that it can do, but it can also tell how many different people are in the room. It can modify the brightness and contrast and sound settings to actually, you know, accommodate the amount of people that are in the room. That's pretty cool. But the fact that it actually turns itself off and says, hey, you're a little bit too close. Specifically, it says, distance alert has been activated. Please move further away from the screen. Then it shows you a lovely little graphic. If we had this thing installed on a TV in our living room, my son would never watch TV again. He's always so close he could probably almost see pixels. I mean, every time you turn around, he's like right up on there. So it's kind of funny and kind of cool. It has a bunch of other fun little gadgets and gadgets that'll probably set it apart, but I think the distance alert thing is absolutely awesome, so I wanted to pass it along. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is the last little thing in the Geek Cruft section here at the Cafe Nation. It's called Clockwork Love. It's a lovely piece. This is not steampunk, rather. This is a lovely piece of Jewelry by Tjep, which is TJEP. I'm not entirely sure. There's a lovely artwork show that's going on in Amsterdam that actually showcases these pieces of jewelry. Now, what they are is different pieces of clockwork and gears and different brass fittings that all kind of cobbled together to make beautiful little pieces of heart. I love a lot of the different ones that they have up there, and the best one I actually think out of all of them is a tiny little heart that actually says burning. So on the one half, you have all the different clockwork gears that kind of fit in together. And then on the right half of the heart, you actually have these little brass flames that actually lick at the rest of it. I think it's unbelievable. I think out of all of the ones that they actually have there, it's probably the most powerful visually. And they have just so many other cool things there I wanted to kind of share with the group. But hopefully you head on over there and check it out. All right, moving right along into the food and caffeinated bits section here. Just in case you were unaware, you can find this as all this stuff over at www.caffination.com. I apologize again because my voice still just isn't there, and I'm having a rough go of it trying to get through the whole show, so we might be rushing, we might be glossing over a couple little things, but I wanted to make mention of the fact that, you know, I am on the way to recovery. I feel a ton better than I have so far the past couple weeks, but man, if this cold or whatever it is isn't really taking a toll, I don't know what. The first story we got up for you here in the food and caffeinated bits section is actually an interesting piece of artwork. I'm not entirely sure if they're selling these, but they're gorgeous. The story's from over at trendhunter.com. It says Leo Burnett makes coffee chocolate. It's chocolate with coffee inside. And the advertisements for these, I don't think that they're actually selling the advertisements, but they're selling they have unbelievable advertising attached to them. Basically, imagine like a confection fish and rooster and bunny and all that other stuff. They're done in chocolate like they normally would. But instead of having the tiny little eyes, they have giant candy googly eyes that look like the thing is like all cracked out. I think that's a fantastic way. It's a subtle reminder that the actual thing is has caffeine in it. I haven't been able to find any other links about it yet, so I don't really know. I even went to the man's site who designed the advertisements, and none of it's up there yet. So I'm not entirely sure if it's just like a little bit of a initial marketing push, but I just wanted to kind of share with the group. I would actually hope that they would eventually have confections that look like the beasts that they have up there, because I think I would be much more inclined to buy a giant chocolate fish that had bug eyes than I would just another kind of coffee and chocolate confection. Next little thing that we have up for you here is, let's just say a tea bag and a coat hanger go into a room and have a baby and they don't tell anyone. Well, that's what you get here if you have this little fun design idea from over at Yanko Design. Basically, imagine a tiny cardboard coat hanger, and then For the t-shirt hanging from the coat hanger, it's actually a tea bag in the shape of a t-shirt, and there's a whole bunch of loose tea in there. So it's actually one of the product design images that they have is a box of them actually on a coat rack inside like a fake closet that slips into it. I think this is beautiful. This is awesome. This needs to happen. I don't know if this is actually a product, but I think this is fantastic. Like, they have different color. All the tea bags or the coat hangers rather are color coded, so I just think this is just really, really cool. This is one of the most doable products that I've actually seen from over at Yanko Design. I would hope that they end up doing some hanger tea. All right, next little thing up for you here is the Kuhn Rikon Herb Chopper. Now, I've seen a lot of these different things. I'm unsure exactly why you would need this. It's basically like a perfectly round blade that has like an extra handle on it, so that you know it keeps your hand well away from the blade, and it's supposed to be for chopping herbs and everything, and it has fragrant oils and all that other stuff that, you know, they like to talk about these fun little buzzwords whenever they're talking about cooking. So, you know, it says, oh, you know, when you chop up herbs, you release the fragrant oils, and it's so much better to cook with. Well, yes, that's true, but you don't need a funny knife to do it. A standard 8-inch chef knife will get you by for 90% of the stuff that you want to do in the kitchen, specifically for chopping. And if you don't know how to chop with an 8-inch chef knife, you just need to watch watch some of the demonstrations that you see Alton Brown do or something like that. I mean, even the movie Ratatouille, when they show you the rat showing the guy how to chop onions, if you watch for the little graphic clues and different things that are out there, it really makes your life a little bit simpler. So I'm unsure why this slightly awkward piece of cutlery would actually work better than a knife, but I don't know. I mean, the only thing that I actually see that's really cool on it is that it has a non-stick coating, so if you're cutting something like potatoes or something like that, that it wouldn't actually, you know, adhere to the blade. But you can't cut potatoes with this. It's the wrong shape. This is definitely a unitasker when you really look at it, and for a knife, that's a bad thing. All right, moving right along, there's an interesting article about getting a free pound of coffee when you donate blood. This is unbelievable. I have no idea why they don't do this around Philadelphia, but apparently this happens up in Ridgefield, Connecticut. If you are going to be available on Tuesday, January 12th from 1:45 to 6:45 p.m. at the Ridgefield Parks and Recreation Center on 195 Dansbury Road, I have no clue where any of that is, but Dunkin' Donuts is providing a coupon for a free pound of coffee to all people who are present who donate blood. Sorry. I think this is unbelievable. The only funny thing about it is if I donate blood and it's my blood, how much caffeine am I actually really losing in the situation? Because I'm pretty sure I might end up actually having higher caffeine content in the blood than the coffee coming back. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I kind of wish they would do something like this down here. I still donate blood no matter what, but I think it's a fun thing to get something back for giving the gift of life. So I just wanted to pass it along as I thought it was relatively awesome. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is I just made this particular recipe tonight, and I got to tell you, they're unbelievably fantastic. If you've never had a Philadelphia soft pretzel and you would like to try one, you should really try this recipe. The only thing is, I would highly suggest you actually find someplace that sells pretzel salt. I couldn't find it, so I used regular table salt, and it just wasn't the same, and kosher salt would have been too hard. Pretzel salt's that lovely little condensed McDonald's salt into like large white chunks that really kind of break apart upon contact with your teeth, and all the other salt really kind of didn't work that well, but they're so close to the real thing. The only thing is they don't have the fun little guessing game of the questionable origin when you're buying a pretzel from a street vendor. So it's all the Philadelphia without any of the Philadelphia, if you know what I mean. I thought it was relatively easy to do. Overall, it took probably about an hour and a half to make all told, but that includes, you know, letting the dough rise, or proof as the case may be, because you need yeast for it. So the house smelled fantastic while we were actually cooking them, and so I actually have one stowed away in everybody's lunch bag for tomorrow. So I thought that was kind of fun and wanted to pass it along in case you had never had them. I wasn't going to tell anybody, you know, hey, you really need to try this recipe if they were horrible. So, you know, I try things first usually. Next one I found for you though is coffee fudge brownies. I've never had these, but I'm really kind of looking forward to it. So I'm unsure of a lot of the different things that they actually have. They actually have glaze on fudge, and I never really thought about that. And they actually have like a vegan recipe for the butter and things like that. I don't know. I'm pretty hardcore fast on the regular normal food kind of thing, but a coffee fudge is an allure that I don't think I can pass up. If anybody else has any fun or cool recipes that they'd like to share with the group, please feel free to forward them along to caffeination@gmail.com, especially if you have personal experience with them. I'd love to, you know, post them up there, share with the group, or point it to your website or something like that if you have a fun one that you've found out. All right, now the last little article that we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast. Like I said, my throat's deciding to slowly destroy itself as I do the show. Drinking lots of water, it doesn't seem to be helping. This is a required viewing. Now, if you've ever seen or heard any of the Caffeination Podcasts, you need to go on over and do this. This is a video from over at boingboing.com. Now, it is a great video on how to brew a good cup of coffee. And they have some of the different ways in which they do it. They say, you know, there's a 3-minute video, so it's relatively quick. It says, first of all, real coffee connoisseurs pre-sort their beans. They also use a mortar and pestle to actually grind the beans up. They re-roast the beans. They use a Chemex coffee brewer. They pre-wet the filter. They use the bad beans to actually soil the filter. It goes on to extreme lengths, and I hope that you get the same kind of enjoyment out of it that I did. I just think that it's insane, and I had to share with the group. I have to share this with like everybody I know because I think this is great. On the one hand, it's a little bit serious, and on the other hand, no, not even in the slightest bit. So if you have a couple seconds, you should really head on over there and check it out. It's only 3 minutes and 52 seconds. All right, and that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination Podcast, Caffeination number 398, 4 and counting. So it's been a fun show. Hopefully we'll get a little bit longer in the tooth for the next episode that comes out. Or maybe we found a new sweet spot. Who knows? The show is constantly evolving. And like I said at the beginning of the show, in case you missed it, thank you ever so much. If you've ever downloaded or listened to even the slightest bit of a show, it's really a fun thing to do, and I'm glad that other people are involved, and I'm glad that people enjoy it as much as they do. So thank you ever so much for listening. And stay caffeinated, people.